For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning, everyone. So I want to speak again today about Yunyang Tansheng, one of our great ancestors, part of the lineage of founders of Shaodong or Soto Zen in China. He lived in the 9th century. He was the teacher of Dongshan, who's considered the founder, but really there's a group of them who've produced this. And I'll start with a story that I spoke about yesterday. Yunyan had a brother, a Dharma brother and a biological brother named Dawu, who also became a successor of another great teacher, Yaoshan. This story that I'll talk about a little bit today goes that one day Yunyan was sweeping the ground. And Dawu said, "Too busy." Yunyan said, "You should know there's one who is not busy." Dawu said, "If so, then there's a second moon." Yunyan held up his broom and said, "Which moon is this?" So this is a very important story in our tradition and very relevant to our lives in our modern world, because we often feel too busy in many different ways. Yunyan was just sweeping the ground. For us, that might be a very kind of relaxing, easy break from all of our busy multitasking and so forth. Anyway, Dawu said, "Too busy." And Yunyan said this wonderful thing, "You should know there is one who is not busy." So I invite you to use this time while you're here this weekend again to explore and study and investigate as you sit and as you get up and do walking meditation and as you go to the bathroom and as you chant or do prostrations or eat your meal or serve the food, to investigate. Do you know there's one who is not busy? But Dawu added this important concern. He said, "If so, then there's a second moon. Is the one who's not busy separate from your activity? Is it something, you know, you have in the background while you're, you know, busy taking care of all the things that you have to take care of in your life? Are there two realities? Are there two sets of wholeness or fullnesses? Are you setting up one who's not busy as something separate? So you should know there's one who's not busy." Yunyan just held up his broom and answered for all of us, "Which broom is this?" Oh no, he said, "Which moon is this?" He could have said, "Which staff is this?" Anyway. Do we fall into separation? So when Kaz Tanahashi was here talking about Dogen, he said the essence of Dogen's teaching is non-separation. And we chant, "Don't separate from this skin bag here and now." How do we be present in our lives? How do we fully occupy our lives and our seat? Our zazen. Which moon is this? So Yunyan's genius is, he didn't take any side. There's a question. So amid the question of what is the one who is not busy, are you making that into some special, something special, some separate, altered state of being or awareness? You should know there's one who is not busy. It means that that's already here. It's not that you have to discover or find out someone who's not busy on your cushion. There's one who's not busy. Even as your mind might be chattering away, or even as you might feel sleepy and groggy. So this is really gets to the heart of our practice in lots and lots of ways. How do we find the integration of our activity in our life and in the world, and taking care of our relationships and our work, and, you know, cleaning the temple, cleaning our houses? How do we take care of all of this, doing the dishes, preparing meals, and so forth? And you should know there's one who's not busy. So as I said yesterday, on the Han outside, it says, life and death is the great matter. So there's an extremely high probability that everybody in this room eventually, hopefully not, you know, not for a while, but eventually everyone in this room very, very likely will die. And also there's a very, very high probability that everyone in this room right now is alive.
But not as high as the other probability.
Well, we'll see. That's the point of our practice. How do we meet life and death? How do we bring our life to life? How do we bring... how do we remember our death as a way of being more lively? How do we remember the one who's not busy? The one who's not busy is not dead. That's another trap we can get into. Oh, if I'm just catatonic, if I just don't feel anything. No, you have to feel what you feel and think what you think. Anyway, the Han says, life and death is the great matter, don't waste time. And my teacher, Reb, was once asked, what is wasting time? And he said, forgetting the one who's not busy. So please investigate this. What is it to remember the one who's not busy? How do we, in Sesshin, Sesshin means to gather up the mind. How do we remind ourselves without making the one who's not busy into some special, exotic, you know, whatever, goal, or, you know, it's already here. This practice is about exploring and becoming intimate with the texture of this reality, this life. The person, the thoughts, the feelings, the aches in your shoulders or knees on your cushion right now. Becoming intimate and familiar with this situation, this body and mind. Apart from all of your, you know, very highly developed ideas about who you are, you know, and your social security number, and, you know, all that stuff. What is it like? How does it feel just to be this person? So I'm going to say a little more about Yunyan, because he's a famous figure in our tradition, partly because he became the teacher of Dongshan, the founder, he's usually considered the founder of Zaodong or Soto Zen. So, you know, there's some success there. But Yunyan is famous as a Zen failure, long before David Chadwick put that on his book. So there's a couple stories about this. So Yunyan, eventually, Yunyan and Dawu, you know, practiced together and studied together, and both eventually became successors of Dawu. But there's two different stories. I've been trying to research. We don't know so much about the history of these people, actually. But anyway, there's two stories about great teachers that Yunyan and Dawu together studied with before they got to Yaoshan. So one of them involves the great teacher Baijan, who some of you may remember, well, amongst other things, he said, a day of no work is a day of no eating. That Baijan also is the one who gave a monk's funeral to a fox. So he was, and he's also considered the beginning, the founder of the Zen or Chan monastic rules. Anyway, great, great teacher. But this one story goes that Yunyan was Baijan's personal attendant, his jisha, for 20 years. Still couldn't get it. Didn't understand Zen. It's just, you know, obviously everyone knew that he was just, you know, total screw up. Even though he, 20 years, he was the personal attendant of this, you know, one of the greatest teachers of all, Zen teachers of all time. And so one story goes that later on he and Dao Wu ended up studying with Yao Shan. And Yao Shan kept asking Yunyan, well, tell me about Baijan. You know, I've heard a lot about him. What did he say? And everything he said, Yao Shan just, you know, oh, okay. You know, he couldn't say anything. Then finally, one time, Yunyan said, well, once when Baijan arrived to give a Dharma Hall discourse, to give a talk, the assembly gathered. And, well, there's different versions of this story. One of the versions is he took a staff and started hitting the monks and driving them out of the zendo. And as they started to flee, he called, monks! And they turned around and said, what is it? And so he told this to Baijan and to Yao Shan, his new teacher. And Yao Shan, oh, why didn't you say that earlier? Now I finally met Baijan. Anyway, and when Yunyan heard that, he had some awakening. That's one story about Yunyan as a kind of failure. Again, his lack of understanding as he studied with Baijan. Again, some of you are looking perplexed. The story is, well, there's a different version of it that Dogen tells, slightly different version. Baijan got to his assembly, he pounded his staff and called out to the students, and when they turned their heads, he said, what is this? And Yao Shan said, oh, why didn't you ever tell me that before? Yeah, now I see Baijan. Anyway, that's one story. The other story is that, and I guess, you know, I don't know how it works chronologically, but it would seem like after leaving Baijan, before they got to Yao Shan, where they became Dharma successors, Yunyan, who was the one who said, you should know this when it's not busy, and his brother Dao Wu studied for a while with Nanchuan, another very famous Chan master. Nanchuan or Nansen was the teacher of the great master Zhaozhou, Zhoushu. So sorry about all these different characters, but this is part of we're going to be chanting the names of the ancestors later. And these characters are kind of the their stories are the everyday tea of Zen students. Anyway, there's a more involved story about when they studied with Nanchuan. Dao Wu and Nanchuan is also famous for cutting a cat. So there's many stories about Nanchuan. One time, Nanchuan was talking with Dao Wu, and the one who said too busy, and later, I guess later on, we don't really know when that story about sweeping the ground was, but anyway. Nanchuan said to Dao Wu, where knowledge does not reach, how can you take the source? Oh, because he'd ask Dao Wu what his name was, and his second name is Zhongzhi, which means source knowledge. So Nanchuan said, where knowledge does not reach, how can you take a source? So this question of how we know things is very important in our practice. Some of you really want to understand everything. Some of you don't care if you understand anything. Both are problems. So how do we know what we know? This is a very important part of our practice. How do we know the one who's not busy? You might think about that, but also how do you feel it in your mudra, in your knees, in your voice as you chant? Anyway, so Nanchuan said, where knowledge does not reach, how can you take a source? And Daowu said, just don't speak of it. Nanchuan said, clearly, if you speak of it, then horns grow on the head. So horns on the head might be an image of a demon or a beast. 3 days later, Daowu and Yunyan were in the back room mending. Nanchuan passed by and asked, the other day we said where knowledge doesn't reach, just don't speak of it. If you speak of it, horns grow in the head. How do you put it into practice? Daowu immediately got up and went to the zendo. Nanchuan left. Then Yunyan later asked Daowu, brother, why didn't you answer the teacher just then? Daowu said, you are so sharp. Yunyan didn't get it and instead went to ask Nanchuan, why didn't Daowu answer that question then? Nanchuan said, he is acting within different kinds. Yunyan said, what is acting within different kinds? Nanchuan said, haven't you been told where knowledge doesn't reach, just don't speak of it? If you speak of it, then horns grow on the head. You must go act within different kinds. Yunyan still didn't understand. So this question of acting within different kinds is relevant to the question of too busy. To act within different kinds is to be in the world of difference. So there's this dynamic here. This is subtle, this issue. We can see the one who's not busy. And maybe that's when everything is just the same. Or we can see all the particulars. Each person has a different seat. How do we act within different kinds? How do we act in the world of differences when we go out of sashin? Or how do we take care of the different ingredients when we're cooking lunch? Acting within different kinds is the expression of our practice. And, you know, Daowu warned Yunyan not to be, you know, he seemed like he was too busy when he was acting within different kinds. How do we act within different kinds? There are many aspects of this, but anyway, Yunyan said, what is acting within different kinds? And Nanchuan, Daowu had already gone, Nanchuan said, haven't you been told where knowledge doesn't reach, just don't speak of it? If you speak of it, then horns grow on the head. You must go act within different kinds. But Yunyan still didn't understand, and Daowu knew he didn't get it. So Daowu said, oh, my poor brother's affinity is not here. So they, after leaving Bajrang, they also left Nanchuan. So Daowu, you know, knew what was happening. And Yunyan was just a total failure. Together Daowu went with Yunyan. He said, so we went back. So I don't know, they may have been with... So I don't know what the sequence is here. It's not clear from all. We have various different accounts and various different stories, and how they fit together isn't clear. Maybe from what this says here, maybe they had already left Bajrang and gone to Yaoshan, their final teacher. Anyway, they went to Yaoshan again. And Yunyan related the foregoing story to Yaoshan, who said, how did you understand this time there that you have come back? Yunyan had no reply. Yaoshan then laughed. Yunyan then asked, what is acting within different kinds? So don't fall for, you know, the comments I made about acting within different kinds. I'm just trying to give you a little hint. But what is acting within different kinds? Yaoshan said, I'm tired today. Come another time. Yunyan said, I've come back especially for this. Yaoshan said, go away for now. So Yunyan left. Dawu was outside the abbot's room listening in. So, you know, really, you shouldn't be listening at the door of the bedside. But anyway, that's what Dawu did, because he was concerned about his brother. So it's, the story goes that Dawu was outside the abbot's room hearing Yunyan's failure. Unconsciously, he bit his finger so hard that it bled. Poor Yunyan. Poor Dawu. Anyway, Dawu went down and asked his brother Yunyan about what he'd asked the teacher. Yunyan said, "The teacher didn't explain it to me." And Dawu hung his head. So this is our great ancestor, Yunyan. Total failure. When both, later on, both men were, both brothers were standing in attendance to Yaosheng, and Yaosheng asked, "Where knowledge doesn't reach, don't speak of it. If you speak of it, then horns grow on the head." Dawu immediately said goodbye and left. Yunyan then asked Yaosheng, "Why didn't my brother Dawu answer you?" Yaosheng said, "Today my back is sore. He understands. You should go ask him." Yunyan then asked Dawu, "Why didn't you answer the teacher just then?" Dawu said, "I have a headache today. Go ask the teacher." Later, after Yunyan had passed away, he sent someone with a letter of farewell to Dawu. You know, again, the history of this, these stories are not about somebody who lived in the 9th century, because according to the dates we have, Dawu died before Yunyan. So anyway, the stories are about us and our failures. Anyway, the story goes, Dawu read this farewell message from his brother, and said, "Yunyan did not know it is. Too bad I didn't tell him then. Anyway, even so, actually he was still a successor of Yaosheng." So, that's the story of Yunyan as his end failure. How did Dawu understand this matter of acting within different kinds? Any response? You already said too much. Sorry. If the tento had just gotten up and gone to the kitchen to prepare lunch, that would have been impressive. But, you know. How do we act within different kinds? So this story is related to the business of how do you should know there's one who's not busy. It's a complicated story. I can go over it again if someone wants. But the point is, one point is that Yunyan, our great ancestor, who was the teacher of Dongshan, who wrote the Jewel Mara Samadhi that we chant sometimes, was a total failure. And according to this story, even with Yaosheng, he couldn't understand. So, in Hongzhi's verse comment, I'll just read one line. All throughout the universe, everything becomes food. So, how do we know it is? How do we know the one who's not busy? How do we not waste time? Can the one who's not busy act within different kinds? This is the challenge of our teaching tradition, coming down from Shakyamuni Buddha. Are there two moons? Is there one moon? Are there any moons? How do we see the guts of this practice for ourselves and together? So each one of you in the room right now is totally essential to this situation. Each one of you in the room right now is helping everyone else to be able to be present with the one who's not busy. I think I'll read the whole of Hongzhu's verse comment. Limping in palsy, tattered and disheveled. After a couple of days of sitting, some of us may feel that. 100 can't be taken, 1 isn't worth it. Silent, knowing himself the peace of his state. So Aishin's response was actually right on. Ebullient, who says in his guts he's a fool? So we should honor our great teacher, our great ancestor Yunyan, this Zen failure, who knew there was one who's not busy. All throughout the universe, everything becomes food. Nose hanging all the way down, one may freely seek to repletion, to fullness. So please don't worry about figuring out these stories or trying to get some meaning out of it. This whole story about Yunyan and Daowu talking with Nanchuan and about this matter of horns growing on the head and acting within different kinds is in the Book of Serenity in the commentary to another much simpler case, which is also relevant. This is just a story about Nanchuan, and it's very straightforward. Nanchuan one day said to the assembly, and again, we're going to be chanting the names of the Buddhas and the ancestors later, but Nanchuan said, the Buddhas of the past, present, and future do not know it is. Cats and cows know it is. The Buddhas of past, present, and future do not know it is. Cats and cows know it is. How many of you have cats you live with? Oh, well. Number of cat lovers here. How many of you have cows you live with? Cats and cows know it is. I have lived with cats much of my life. I had a pet cat who used to curl up, a black cat used to curl up right in front of me when I sat at home between me and the wall, and she'd stick her paws through my mudra. So she knew something. How do we know that there's one who's not busy? How do we act within different kinds? So I don't feel like saying anything more about this myself, but we'll have time for discussion this afternoon over tea, but does anyone have any comments now? Or questions or responses or animal utterances? Ishin.
Is it possible to act within different kinds if you are mistaking a broom for a moon?
Are brooms and moons different kinds?
I would say yes.
We could take a vote, but I don't know.
Each has its own response.
Each has its own response.
Good.
But, you know, we talked yesterday about this image of the moon. When they talk about the moon, they mean the full round moon as an image of wholeness, of completeness, that Repleteness is clearly translated anxious verse. So there's this fullness that we're concerned with somehow, or that it is concerned with us. And are there different kinds there? Many different kinds. And it happens that, speaking of which, in the story about Yunyan sweeping the ground and saying, which moon is this? There's a comment where Yunmen later said about the story, about you should know this one is not busy. Yunnan said, when the butler sees the maid, he takes care. So, thank you both. Yes,
I just have a question about this image of the full moon, because it seems like appreciating the fullness of the moon also has to include sort of appreciating all the stages of the moon, when it's less than full, when it's half, when it's a sliver. And I think that has to do with acting within kinds.
Good, yes. Yes. Sometimes we, in Zazen, we can feel this sense of wholeness, that it's okay, sure, to be the person on your cushion right now. However that is. But when Dogen says, when Dharma fills your body and mind, you know that something's missing. So yeah, can we be completely lost? Can we give up our sense of knowing who we are? Can we let go of our attempts to not feel suffering? Can we be sad when we're sad? Can we be afraid when we're afraid? So please don't fall for some idea of perfection. Please don't try and do Zazen correctly. Josh.
You mentioned cats and cows.
I did. And so did Nanchuan.
My dog has a giant abscess on her chest the size of a golf ball.
And oh, I'm sorry.
Totally not hurting her at all.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
She doesn't care at all. She just kind of hangs off her and she still goes and eats and plays and walks and runs and...
Is she aware that it's there, do you think?
I mean, she probably feels it hanging off her. But I was imagining, I mean, proportionally it would be the size of like a softball, if I had a softball hanging off my chest. I think probably I would care. But yeah.
She's not concerned about how it looks.
Some humans around her are there. She doesn't get
Thank you, yeah. Douglas.
I think a hard thing for us to learn, or at least to approach it, it's hard to learn, is that we're not trying to sit or sleep in order to not be busy and to feel spacious and calm and in spite of all the activity. We're really learning to sit and sleep and chop vegetables and type.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard to do, and that it's hard not to forget about that.
Wait, what is it hard not to forget?
It's hard not to forget that we're learning to sit and sleep and chop vegetables or type. And there may be calmness there, and there may not be, but we're not sitting to get calm.
Right. But you might also consider, what is it that you do realize as you're sitting? And don't try to figure that out. Right now, how is it that you... are not busy right in the middle of this funny activity of listening to all these funny Zen stories? Laurel, you had something to say?
I would just note that last night there was a beautiful half moon that I saw walking to the bus, but you could see from the earth shine, you could see the rest of the moon in dark darkness. That was very beautiful and inspiring. I love stories that have the moon in it because we can see the moon so often and then be reminded of the stories. It's a very wonderful image for me. It's there whenever it's clear.
Okay, well, I was thinking of this when Nyozan asked about the full moon and the partial moon, and so now I'm going to read another story. And this is also a commentary to a case, and I won't go into the case, but this actually also involves Yunyan and Dawu. Perfect. So there's two other characters. First of all, Yangshan and Shanda, who became a great Pure Land ancestor, patriarch. Yangshan asked, when the moon is a crescent, where does the round shape go? When it's full, where does the crescent shape go? Shanda said, when it's a crescent, the round shape is concealed, which is the opposite of what you were saying. When it's full, the crescent shape remains. So he was partial to partiality. Yunyan, who was the one who was sweeping the ground, said, when it's a crescent, the round shape remains. When it's full, the crescent shape does not exist. So he was, he knew the one who was not busy, he was partial to fullness. But Dawu said, when it's a crescent, yet it's not a crescent. When it's full, it's still not round. So this is all a comment on a line of verse about how do we know the self or not? Vaguely, like the moon through ivy, a crescent at that. So yeah, when we see the incompleteness of our life, also there's something wonderful there. In the midst of incompleteness, do you know there's one who's not busy? But, you know, think about it for yourself. When the crescent, when the moon is round, where's the crescent moon? When the moon is a crescent shape, where does the round moon go? You have to decide for yourself. So, I've given you all of this stuff that you can occupy your mind with while you sit and just sit, and please feel free to forget everything I've said.